We can sing that song with confidence because we truly know there's no friend like Jesus. We lean on Him and depend on Him, and it's comforting to me to know that He's going to guide us until the very end. So we look forward to having that with Him. I want to talk with you tonight about some appointments that you have. Now, I don't know whether your appointment is to see the doctor or buy a car or whatever it might be, but there's one appointment that we're all going to meet. I want to talk to you tonight about God's judgment. We hear people talk about it and they have different views about it, but the Bible is really very clear about this. It is God's judgment, and every one of us is going to be there.
Amen.
Without a loss of a single one, we're all going to be there at the judgment. And we think of all the people of the world that's going to be there. And we're told that heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. The reason why we're concerned about that is because the words of Christ are the ones that are going to judge us in the last day. In Matthew 6, verse 24, Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." And we understand that because we've all felt the failure sometimes dealing with mammon, which is the money of this world, and we have to recognize we cannot trust that. We can only trust in God. And so I want to go to Romans chapter 2 tonight to begin with, as he has in chapter 1 dealt with the Gentiles, and in chapter 2 begins to deal with the Jews. So we're going to read a few verses having to do with the Jewish problem as God saw them. In verse 1, "Therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are, who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge, practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think, O man, who you judge, those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of judgment and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his own deeds. Eternal life to those who, by patient continuance in doing good, work for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for there's no partiality with God." A number of statements are in here to let us know what's in front of us. And as we consider what God is saying through the Apostle Paul, we recognize we have an appointment. That appointment is already set. And though we die, we're still going to meet that appointment. Because every man on the face of the earth has to meet that appointment. And he talks about to the Jew, because they've been very critical of the Gentile, as mentioned in chapter 1. And then the Jew, Paul says, "You who judge others, you do the same things yourself. And they're worse because they have the law that the Gentiles didn't have, and they should have been better as far as that." But Romans 2 tells us that God's judgment is according to truth. That's good to know. I remember not too long ago, there was a young man, just a teenager. He was drinking and driving while he was drunk, and he killed 4 people. And everybody in this part of the world was upset because the judge gave him probation. And he was a very wealthy young man, and so I don't know what that entered into it, but you think 4 deaths, and he just got probation for that. And you think, well, that's not fair. Those people that died deserve more respect than giving this young boy with a lot of money a probation. So we have to understand that God's truth, God's judgment is going to be according to truth and not to partiality. That's what verse 11 told us as in our reading here. And so, Romans 2 verse 2, the judgment is based upon the truth. John 8 verse 32 says, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. John 17 says, sanctify them in the truth, thy word is truth. I can know tonight what standard I'm going to face when it comes down to the judgment.
Amen.
And that's such an advantage. Those of us who love the Word of God, those of us who believe the Word of God, those of us who read the Word of God will not be surprised at the judgment day. There's not going to be any partiality, Jew and Greek alike, Christian and non-Christian alike. We have to face the judgment day in the words of Jesus Christ. And I can know what's going to be the test. It's like God is giving us a knowledge ahead of time what the judgment is going to be like. And it's so wonderful to be able to understand that I'm reading the very kind of material that God is going to judge us with.
Amen.
I'm not going to be surprised. I know what it's going to be. And so that gives me a certain amount of advantage because we believe the truth. And so the truth comes from the very words of Jesus in John 12 and verse 48. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which will judge him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. I'm not going to have a Bible with me. I'm not going to have the Word with me the judgment day because Jesus is the Word. He's going to be there. He's told us what He's going to expect from us. Isn't that good that we can know that? And I can understand how to guide my life and how to put things first that are first. How to show my priorities in life. Because I know what Jesus has said. And as we've been trying every year to make us read through the Bible once every year, if you've done that, you know exactly what the judgment is going to be like. And it's so good to be able to know that, because knowing that I'm going to be there and knowing that we're all going to be there, I really control my thoughts. I understand that I've got to meet a standard of God's Word. And there are not any shortcuts, and there are not any favoritisms, but His Word is going to judge us. And so His judgment is righteous. And as again, Romans 2:11 said, there's no partiality with God. And God's judgment will be according to God's concepts. And you go back to Isaiah, His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. And He's not going to come down to my level and judge me according to my wishes and my demands. I'm going to have to face up to God's standards. Now, they're high, and they are holy, and they're not to be trifled with. And I know that what God says, He always accomplishes. So when we get there, Jesus is going to be instead of Bibles. Jesus is the Word. He's going to be there, and His truth will be what judges me. So when I read, for example, the Beatitudes, the kind of attitudes that ought to possess a Christian are explained by Jesus in those few verses and few chapters in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And I know what God expects of me. It's not unreasonable, and it's not too hard, and it's not anything that anybody can't live up to. So we understand that it's going to be God's judgment, not ours. And it will not be according to human judging. I've known people who had a son in jail. Knowing the court system, he went to see the father of this man, went to the judge out to his house, and said, "What would it take for me to get my son out of jail?" I know this for a fact. And the judge said, $10,000. And that man gave the judge, on the spot, $10,000 to get his son out of jail. So, in earthly terms, justice can be bribed. Justice can be changed. We have, in our federal system, the idea of the blinded woman with balances in her hand, that justice is supposed to be blind and fair. But folks, it doesn't work out that way all the time.
Yeah.
Where greed is, where procedures are, where favoritism lies, sometimes people get away with things they ought not to get away with. So we're not going to be judged trying to bribe the Lord, because there'd be no bribing of Him. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 2, the Apostle Paul said, "For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, were not wise." And so what this is saying is that I look at somebody else and I say, well, I'm better than he is. So I'm measuring myself by myself. And I'm able to say that I'm better than most people. Well, that doesn't mean anything with God. Amen. Doesn't mean a thing. And I'm deluding myself if I think that I can judge myself by myself and make it through the judgment day. Because Paul said that they're not wise when they do that. And I have to understand that true. Again, the judgment is certain. A lot of things that we hope will happen, maybe it doesn't happen. But the judgment of the Lord is certain as death itself.
Amen.
Have to recognize that and understand that. So when I begin to think about those things, and I don't know why that's popping up, there'll be an appointed day for every one of us to meet the judgment. I mentioned that this morning in Acts chapter 17, that God hath appointed a day. And I didn't understand that in the beginning of my Bible study. I thought the judgment day was sort of nebulous, and finally one day the Lord would decide which day it is. But according to Paul in Acts 17, that day is already selected. And so here's the judgment day, and I'm walking toward that judgment day. It may not happen in my lifetime, but God has already appointed that day. And Hebrews 9:27 says, "That's appointed for man to die. After this, the judgment." And so it doesn't make any difference if I'm alive or dead. I'm still going to go to the judgment day. And the Bible tells me that books are going to be opened. And the books will have to do with what I've done, both good and bad. And the books will include what God has said. And so we're going to be tested according to that. And there'll be no escape. Nobody's going to be late. There'll be no postponing. And we're going to be able to give an account before God. And I think about that. I'm so thankful for forgiveness. Please understand me. God is going to judge us for what we've done and what we have been accounted for. But in the meantime, as Christians, we understand from 1 John chapter 1 that when you confess your faults and pray to God, He'll forgive you. And so there are things in my life that I wish I hadn't done. I might remember them. But when God forgives, it's gone, and I'll never have to answer to those things again. You think of the Jew in the Old Testament. Every year, the atonement sacrifice was to remember the year's sins of the past year. Well, that was just added on to the sins of the previous year. So there was a remembrance year by year of their sins. There was no actual forgiveness under the Old Testament because it was based on the blood of animals. When Jesus died, His blood put an end to sins, and being washed in the blood of Christ, all our sins are gone. That's such an advantage to know that and to recognize that I cannot go to heaven as a perfect person because I'm not perfect, but I can go to heaven as a forgiven person because the things that are forgiven will not be brought up at the judgment day. That's the edge that we as Christians have, knowing that and recognizing that we're striving to live better every single day that we live. And so we're going to have to face that. And then the judgment is so revealing. The Bible talks about how we stand before Him with whom we have to do, and we have to do with God. And so all things will be revealed at the judgment day, all a person's sins that are unforgiven, and all the good. Now here, our good is supposed to be not broadcast. Jesus condemned the Pharisees because they would give alms and blow the horn so everybody'd see it. Or they'd make loud prayers on the street corners so everybody would hear those prayers. And we're not supposed to let our good works be seen in that way. At the same time, when we do our good works, knowing that God sees those good works, you don't have to tell anybody about them because God's going to bring those up at the judgment day. And you recognize that this is taught in the Scriptures, that we're all going to have to face what we've done. So in 1 Timothy chapter 5, beginning, I'm in 2 Timothy, go back to chapter 5 of 1 Timothy, beginning of verse 24. Paul was telling Timothy, some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them to judgment. But those of some men follow later. Likewise, the good works of some are clearly evident, and those that are otherwise cannot be hidden. So, some people, even I can see their sins. I see what they're doing. It's evident that they're living an ungodly life. There are others that may hide it for a while, but they're going to face them at the judgment day. They're not going to get away with anything. That's why the Proverb letter tells us not to envy the wealthy and the wicked. Don't envy those people because they have nothing to face the judgment day with. They may live a higher lifestyle here. They may have more abundance here. But when they get to the judgment day, they don't have anything to commend them. And I'm not supposed to sit back and envy somebody that's got a lot of money, though they get it for an evil way. I think sometimes of the Kennedy family and what a reputation the Kennedy family had. And old Joe Kennedy pretty much bought the presidency for JFK. He made his fortune by importing illegal liquor into this country. Now, people know that. But they've got so much money that it doesn't seem to make any difference. Well, I still see it as a sin.
Amen.
If other people don't, it's going to be brought out the judgment day. We're not getting away with anything. I like the expression that we're not playing games with God. He sees to the heart of a matter. He understands the issues, understands that sort of thing. And so Jesus Christ revealed is going to be the standard. In Philippians chapter 2, therefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, those on the earth, and those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And we're not ashamed to do that. But you know, at the judgment day, every knee is going to bow. But it's too late. That song that we sing, Almost But Lost. It's a terrible, terrible thing to know that all these people that we were talking Friday night about a debate between an atheist and a Christian, and they talked about this atheist. He's the worst atheist that has ever lived, so far as we know, because his entire thrust is to make people disbelieve in God. He really forces it into young people. And it may be that he won't have to face the answer to that question until the judgment day. But he will.
Amen.
This God that doesn't exist is going to be on his throne. This Jesus, who doesn't believe in, he's going to be at God's right hand. And what sometimes leaves me breathless is to understand, we're going to see that. I'm going to be at the judgment day. I'm going to see God on his throne. I'll be able to understand the Holy Spirit. And I'll be able to see Jesus as he is, not as he was on earth, but now as he's Lord of lords and kings of kings. We're going to be in his presence. And he talks about the fact that if you'll confess him on this earth, he'll confess us before his Father. Now that's going to be an honor. There's no way you can overestimate that. Because we have been through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ when we were baptized, we are willing to accept the blame, if you will, as others do look at it. We're able to understand that I'm going to be dead and buried and rise again like Jesus did in his death, burial, and resurrection. And as I do that, I'm reenacting in my life what Jesus did for us. And I'm not ashamed to do that. People talk about, well, you're believing in works. What work can you brag about when you've just been baptized? That's nothing hard to do. It's really simple to do, and you can't ignore the fact that it's in the Bible. This is what God wants us to do, to be baptized in water like Jesus went into the grave and came forth in victory. And so we need to understand that we're going to be judged about whether or not we've accepted that likeness of the resurrection. Then we understand that God's judgment is separating. And here a lot of people have problems. What am I going to do if I see my daddy and he's not going to heaven? What am I going to do if I have my son or daughter and they're not going to heaven? I have a loved one, my husband, how am I going to enjoy heaven if he's not going to be there? And that is no problem at all. Amen. When we get to the judgment day, we're going to see things like the Lord sees them.
Amen.
I can't love my father or my mother any more than what Jesus does. He died for them. If then they're not in heaven, I've got to yield to the righteous judgment of God. And know, and I believe this with all my heart, that Jesus Christ doeth all things well. That's what the Bible tells us. So when it comes down to having to relinquish a loved one that's not going to heaven, I can't love that person any more than what Jesus does.
Amen.
And if Jesus can righteously say, you can't enter in, I'll accept that. I'll accept that. Because I'm going to see things as God sees things. So when people bring up all these questions about the judgment day, how am I going to be happy? How am I going to rejoice? And all those kinds of things. If someone that I know doesn't get there, if Jesus Christ and His angels can stand and see people depart into hell, which He says will do, it's a righteous thing with God, and I yield to that. I know that God does everything well. And if He sends somebody to torment, folks, that's where they deserve to be. And we can be forgiven of all those things, but we separate from many people. There will be a separating of friends. There'll be a separating of loved ones and family, and even those in the church. Some unfaithful people that used to be faithful. Now, if I get so disturbed about the fact that someone that I love may not go to heaven, let's not blame God. Let's talk to them and convert them. There's the force for evangelism. We recognize that people without Christ are going to be lost. So give it our all to convert our friends. Give it our all to convert our neighbors. Give it our all to convert our relatives. Judgment is coming.
Amen.
It's on its way. We're heading toward the last day. And yes, there are people that I know and people that I love. But they don't look at the Bible the way I do. They don't look at the judgment day the way I do. And you see sometimes they make jokes about liquor, they make jokes about affairs, and those things are evil. So I've got to recognize, if it comes down to the judgment day, and some that I know are going to be lost, I'm going to remember that song that bothers me so much. You never mentioned Him to me.
Amen.
So if I don't want that separation to occur, I better be converting people. And don't wait till the judgment day to regret it. Start converting people while you're still alive and try to get across the understanding there is a judgment day coming. It's sure and it's certain. And here's the standard. Jesus Christ and His Word is the standard. Now, if they don't listen to you, you've done all you can do. You can't make them be converted, but you can certainly tell them the story of Jesus Christ. And so God's judgment is going to be destructive in some ways. Those who have lived a life of sin will be destroyed, cast away for an eternity. It is not an annihilation. That's what some of the atheists believe, or some of those who want to make judgment in their way. They believe that when you're lost, that you're just wiped out of existence. Jehovah's Witnesses teach that. They teach that a person who is sinful is annihilated. He doesn't exist anymore. Well, you know, that would almost be a relief. But the Bible says in Matthew chapter 25 that the judgment day is going to be eternity in both directions. That is, those in torment will be there forever, and those in heaven will be there forever. And so it's one is just as long as the other. When people are convinced that they're just going to be annihilated, that doesn't seem so bad. And so they'll go ahead and do all the things they want to do, whether or not they're living right. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 deals with this. And the Thessalonians were having trouble with the judgment day and resurrection. And so the Apostle Paul gave them some teaching in chapter 1, beginning with verse 6. Paul said, "These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, from the door of His power, when He comes in that day to be glorified in His saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed." A couple of men in the church have decided that there's not going to be an eternal punishment. Edward Fudge was the first person that wrote a book in which he says, "You may suffer for a while and then you'll just be annihilated." Then Homer Haley, after he died, had a book published that taught the same thing. I don't know how you can read the Bible and come up to that kind of a conclusion. Amen. Matthew talks about the fact that there at the judgment day and in torment, the fire is not quenched, the worm is not destroyed, which says there's going to be everlasting corruption for the wicked. Now we're told also by Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that when we stand before the judgment day and pass the judgment, that our bodies are going to be changed. We're going to have a body that looks like Christ. That couldn't be anything any better than that, so we need to understand what the Bible is teaching. The judgment will be also destructive to all physical existence that we know today. This pulpit's going to burn up. This building's going to burn up. Trees are going to burn up. All the earth is going to be burned up. And Peter talks about that. Now, in the discussion that I'm having with a man out in Lubbock about the 70 AD doctrine, they teach that the world is not going to be destroyed, that was the old Jewish world, and that this world will last forever. And they're deluded. The Bible does not teach that. Peter has been talking about the end of the world and judgment and about the destruction of the world. And so if you'll turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, you'll be able to understand exactly what Peter is talking about at the judgment day. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning of verse 10. There, Peter said, "For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, his lips from speaking guile. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, his ears open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord against those who do evil." And then he talks about other things and the destruction of the world and how it's all going to be burned with fire. So those things are going to happen. And most of us have found time to change, usually. We recognize, well, I shouldn't say those things. I shouldn't do those things. And so, well, we've got time while we're alive to change those things. But at the judgment day, in fact, there's a chimney corner scripture where the Bible, where people say the Bible says, but it doesn't, that a tree shall lie as it falls. Well, it's true in the sense that once the judgment day comes, you can't unsay anything that you've said wrong. You can't undo anything that you've done wrong. You have to come to God as you are. Now, that ought to be a fearsome thing. And we who are Christians recognize that we can do that. We can come to the Lord as we are. If Jesus Christ came tonight, we'll be able to say that we've been preparing for this all the time. What I believe, what I practice fervently from the heart, These are the things that are going to be displayed by Jesus Christ at the judgment day. And the Bible says that if we have acknowledged Him on earth, He will acknowledge us before the Father. What a privilege that's going to be. And so we have to understand this. So to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, wrath, tribulation, anguish on every soul of man who does evil. There's going to be some weeping and wailing at the judgment day. There's going to be people so surprised that money did not make them through the judgment day. But we're not going to be surprised, brethren and friends, because we know what the Bible says.
Amen.
And we ask for forgiveness because we know that we do things that we ought not do. We confess those things to the Lord, and He will forgive us if we really repent. So we have that honor of that and the ability to do that. And then when you really get down to everything, when you turn to Revelation chapter 20, in verse 10, we have the statement made by John and, of course, by Jesus. Chapter 20 and verse 10. And the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. I don't want to go there. Just make it real clear. I don't want to go there. If you know anything in my life that would cause me to be lost, don't be quiet. Don't be polite. Wake me up. Let me have time to repent and do something that's right. I don't want to go to hell.
Amen.
I don't want to spend day and night with the devil. You know, you think about what kind of people are going to be there. Well, Jezebel, Hitler, murderers, Judas. You think about the people that's going to be there. I don't want to be around them in life. Why would I be around them all eternity in hell? And so it's good that we sometimes stop and consider the judgment day. It's sure, it's certain, it's already fixed, and we're moving toward that day, one day at a time. So we need to give double thought to what I'm doing, what I'm believing, what I'm teaching, because it depends on where I'm going to spend eternity. I'll never go out of existence. Though I was not eternal, now I'm in existence, and I'll spend eternity either in heaven or hell.
Amen.
And the judgment day is going to make the difference. Now, having believed in Jesus Christ and giving my life into His subjection, then I truly believe we can go to heaven.
Amen.
As I taught in 1 John, as we studied 1 John, the Lord has made provision for forgiveness. I can be forgiven of public sins if I will acknowledge publicly what I've done and ask God to forgive me as I repent. I do something on the sly, then God will forgive me if I repent of that and live better. And that gives me hope for eternity.
Amen.
I would like to see everybody here come along with me and enter the gates of glory.
Amen.
My, what a day that'll be.
Amen.
It's so hard to imagine, but what a day it will be. So think about that as you think of your life, and recognize that we have advantages that non-Christians don't have because we believe the Bible. And I'm so thankful that when I was young, my mother taught me to believe the Bible and to believe in Christ. And though I've seen all kinds of people dispute that, I've never seen anybody prove it. Jesus is alive. He was raised from the dead. And we'll spend eternity together in heaven. If there's anything in your life that would keep you from going to heaven, please do what you can to get rid of it. Ask God to forgive you. Repent of your sins. Let it be known that you are trying to make your life right with God, because we all understand the judgment day is coming. If you need to respond tonight to be baptized for the remission of your sins, we're glad to be able to help you in that. If you're doing something that would keep you from going to heaven, by all means, turn in your heart to God, confess your sins, and let the Lord forgive you. If you need to come, we invite you to come forward tonight while we stand together and sing the song.